Good afternoon. Let's go ahead and get started. This is a meeting of the title-setting board pursuant to Article 40 of Title I, Colorado Revised Statutes. The time is 2:03 p.m. The date is April 1st, 2009. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Suite 270, Denver, Colorado. The title-setting board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State here on behalf of Secretary of State Bertie Buescher. To my left is Sharon Eubanks, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is the designee of the Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, Charlie Pike. To my right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, who is here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers. And then also to my far right is Ceci Gomez from the Secretary of State's office. I want to say at the outset that one of our agenda items, we will cancel the third agenda item, number 8, initiative number 8, has been withdrawn, so we will not hear that one this afternoon. And that leaves us with the first two agenda items. One is a rehearing on number 7. And the other is an initial hearing on number 11, both dealing with property taxes. Just for the record, for anybody who wishes to testify, there is a sign-up sheet on the table by the door. The hearing is broadcast over the Internet and is recorded. decision is reached by two of the three members of the board, and anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the title board on an initial hearing of a measure may file a motion for rehearing with the board within 7 days of today. With that, I'll turn to the first agenda item, 2009-2010 number 7, property taxes. This is here before us on a motion for rehearing submitted by proponents, I believe. So. Mr. Schroeder, if you'd like to come forward and let us know the grounds and the reasons for the request for rehearing and what it is you would like for the title board to do.
Thank you very much. Yes. As I said in my application for the rehearing, I asked for it because I felt it was both illegal and unfair. Before I get into that, I'd like to thank the three of you for at the original hearing paying attention and speaking into the microphone. The quality of the sound recording compared to what I had alluded to before was so much better that it was very noticeable. The worst problem was the speaker behind the podium walking away from the microphone sometimes to look at you. I'll try to do better today and stay here.
Okay, great.
Okay, I felt that the result was illegal in the fact that it didn't follow the guidance for a title, and I felt it was unfair and that it would serve as being confusing to the taxpayers. And I would like to start out by reading something I prepared and ask as I read it to you that it be included in the record.
Okay.
We all remember Alan Greenspan for various reasons. When he was chief economic advisor in the 1980s, he was told never to use the word depression in public statements because it was negative. To ridicule these political advisors, whose speeches then dropped the word depression and used the word banana. As in, with severe declines in production and employment, we are facing a national banana. The title board wants to evade and twist the subject of my petition with vague euphemism, charges imposed on property. Charges by whom? What kind of charges? You imply our petition will impose these charges, and that is highly false, and I do resent it. We do not impose new charges, but limit existing taxes. Voters know what property taxes are. It's the bold print subject of our petition text. It's also the working title given to it by staff. Please do use it. To show how wildly silly your politically correct phrase is, here's the middle paragraph, the heart of our petition. using the word bananas for property taxes or rates. We would say electors may vote on bananas where they own real property. Adapting state law, all districts shall allow petitions to lower bananas as voter-approved revenue changes. Banana issues shall have November election notices and be separate from debt issues. Banana bills shall list only bananas and late charges. Enterprises and authorities shall pay bananas. Lower bananas shall offset that revenue. Enterprises and unelected boards shall levy no mandatory fee or banana. Future banana increases shall expire within 10 years. Extending expiring bananas is a banana increase. Prior actions to keep excess banana revenues are expired. Future actions are banana increases expiring within 4 years. Non-college school districts shall phase out equally by 2020 half their 2011 banana not paying debt. State aid shall replace that. Anyone asked what the subject was would say bananas. He would not say it was a tropical fruit plant product favored by primates. Put back in the word property taxes for bananas and you will realize how far afield you went to conceal improperly from voters the real subject of the petition. And that's a violation of your legal duty. Today may be April Fool's Day, but I urge you to refrain from playing this cruel joke on the Colorado voters and us citizen petitioners. Please list the subject in the title as concerning property taxes.
Thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Questions for Mr. Schroeder? As I recall, Mr. Schroeder, the reason why we were first of all, let me just make sure that we should be focusing on the first line of the title. Your concern is limited to the expression of the single subject where the title set by the board say concerning charges imposed on property. Is that right?
That is right.
And you just like to say concerning property taxes?
That's right. And I have a proposal for you to consider as a straw man.
Do you want to go ahead and give that to us now?
Sure. I have another statement which I would like to ask that you include in the record, which I will now pass out to you.
Thank you.
I believe that a title of 194 words for a 321-word text is not brief. It is not clear, it is not neutral, and it does not state or summarize the principle of the petition. It's a disgraceful morass and violates statutory requirements. The goal of ballot titles is not to note main features that would impact the lives of citizens, not to list every detail, not to alienate voters with 194-word sentence they can't understand. Such an absurd sentence will lead voters to vote no. To burden voters and citizen petitioners with such verbosity is an improper use of your discretion. Please don't do it. Your draft is plain type on this document. Ours is in bold italics below it. Criticism of the draft is in parentheses and smaller type below it. Shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution? Say, well, do you really believe voters are going to think that it's the Utah Constitution? That's just one word. I suggest it should read, shall there be a constitutional amendment? Concerning charges imposed on property, what type of charges? Taxes. Imposed by whom? By this petition? No. By government. This is vague and misleading. It could be read as a warning that this petition raises charges. Imposed also has a negative implication and is a term not in the text. Its use is itself an imposition. Concerning property taxes, which, and in connection therewith, delete. Only lawyers talk down to people that way. Kick the habit. Allowing petitions in all districts for elections to lower property taxes. Delete. A petition clause election is just another part of the election process included in our next clause, specifying requirements for certain property tax elections. Certain is wrong, as all property tax elections are covered. Property tax is redundant, as the whole petition covers property tax, as stated in our immediately prior statement of the subject. Elections required by petition are still elections. Specifies election requirements. Requiring enterprises and authorities to pay property taxes, but offsetting the revenues with lower tax rates. Delete. Include in the next clause, it has a slight impact on voter lives. Prohibiting enterprises and unelected boards from levying fees on taxes on property. Both clauses deal with government payment and collection of property taxes. They're merely directives to government with no impact on activities by citizens. Regulates government revenue sources. Setting expiration dates for prior and future voter-approved property tax rate and revenue increases. This is untrue. Nothing in the clause referred to says all prior property tax rate increases expire. That is only future rate increases. At least delete prior and future voter-approved. Past the tabering and rate increases were also done illegally, without a vote. So all were not voter-approved. The phrase property tax is repetitive and redundant. Since this one subject is property taxes, you are also overlapping which what is mentioned later in Bow Lake C. Sets tax expiration dates. Requiring each school district to reduce its property tax rate over 10 years and requiring that the revenue be replaced by state aid. Too wordy. You use 23 words there to summarize 24 words. Replaces school tax reductions with state aid. Requiring property tax rates to be reduced to offset 1. Property taxes implemented in violation of state laws, policies, or limits existing in 1992. Bow Lakes 2. Property taxes exceeding the dollar amount included in an approved ballot question. And Bow Lakes 3. Property tax rate increases on, or extensions approved by voters without certain ballot language. 52 words. You say property taxes 4 times in one clause. Requiring to be reduced to offset is doubly redundant. Numbering is not needed. At a minimum, shorten by saying, quote, reduce taxes violating state law or exceeding dollar amounts in ballot titles, end quote. That's 12 words, which is still too many. And reduces taxes exceeding listed voter approval rules. Restoring state tax laws, policies, and limits that have been violated, changed, or weakened without state voter approval. Delete. This is a housekeeping feature, since the tax increases from its violations are repealed. And requiring the state to conduct audits to enforce the property tax provisions of Article Roman 10, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution. Delete. This is a directive to the state. It does not affect the lives of citizens. Enforcement is not a surprise to voters. It is assumed. Adding property tax again is redundant, since that is still the subject of the measure. Spelling out Article Roman 10, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution adds 8 words for no purpose, since few people know what that section means. If you must, add and requires audit. The finished product I suggest is simply, shall there be a constitutional amendment concerning property taxes, which specifies election requirements, regulates government revenue sources, sets tax expiration dates, replaces school tax reductions with state aid, and reduces taxes exceeding listed voter approval rules.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Questions? There is a lot to digest here. I'm actually, and you went through it pretty quickly, which I appreciate, but I also want to make sure that I go back through it and make sure I understand the points.
I appreciate that. That's why I wanted to be sure that you each had it there in writing and that we changed the font in there to make it a little bit easier to go through what is not an easy process for you. I realize that.
And I'm still kind of pouring through it, but if any of the title board members want to go ahead and ask questions, whatever, feel free to go ahead. But
I don't think I have questions. When everyone's ready, I think I'm ready to discuss it.
You're ready to go. Well, let's then go ahead and let me find out if there's any questions or discussion from the board. I guess one thing I would mention is that, and I am sort of trying to weigh out some of the suggestions made by Mr. Schroeder, but just from my own perspective, I think one of the things that I think is always a challenge is brevity versus informing the voters, and I think that really comes out here. I realize the title is longer and more complex than I might like, but we also have a lot of direction to make sure that we do include the major features of a proposal. And in fact, quoting from the state Supreme Court, it says the board must navigate straits between brevity and unambiguously stating the central features of the measure. And I think that's at least what we were trying to do last time. Is I think we really were trying to shorten the title where we could, but we felt that we needed to make sure that we did in fact state the central features of the measure. And there really are a number of things going on here. And so that's sort of the operating rules that I try to follow. We're navigating between brevity and central features.
I appreciate that, and I think we're just coming at it from two wildly different perspectives. I respect your position absolutely, and I understand it. But I'm just disappointed that I see you all sitting there writing instead of lining out.
Well, and maybe I have a couple of, I don't know if it's questions or comments, there's two or three things that do strike me, so maybe this will start a discussion. As I recall, we were reluctant to use property taxes in the expression of the single subject. I'm actually still open to doing that, but I think the problem was the provision that prohibits enterprises and unelected boards from levying mandatory fees on property. And I think that was at least one reason why I was reluctant to use the term property taxes, given the language of the measure that seems to be broader than just property taxes. I might be able to be, if that's all it was, I might be able to be talked out of that. But I think that's one of the difficulties in just saying concerning property taxes.
And I recognize the timeliness of being very precise in the use of the words fees and taxes in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, I think that was my fear about using taxes, is that you may think that a mandatory fee is essentially a tax, and I might agree with you, but the danger for you especially is that you convince us to change that. And then the Supreme Court, which clearly doesn't believe that mandatory fees are taxes, throws out your measure, or at least throws out the title, for being imprecise and not actually and misrepresenting the subject, which is broader than what the courts have determined to be property taxes. It includes at least a little bit of what courts have determined to be fees, which by definition are not taxes. So I don't know. Maybe that is such a minor part of it that that it's okay to change it. On the other hand, if all this measure did was say lower property tax rates or just had two clauses, one dealing with what's clearly property tax rates, say the first sentence of 10B, and then had the other provision about fees, it would clearly, I think, be a mistake for us to just list the single subject as taxes. So I don't know if the fact that it's kind of buried in there in a lot of other things changes that. But I don't think that the phrase, whatever we used, is politically correct or intended to hide what's actually going on. I also don't think that it suggests any more than property taxes, that if all it said was concerning property taxes rather than concerning charges imposed on property, neither one of those suggests more than the other, I don't think, whether the measure is increasing or decreasing the taxes or the charges. So I think I would lean towards leaving it, but I could also be talked out of it.
And there is a related issue raised by Mr. Schroeder, is I believe the as written, you know, concerning charges imposed on property. I think he's suggesting that this, that we're implying that the measure provides for charges imposed on taxes, or imposes charges imposes charges on property or something. And although I don't think that's necessarily the case, I'm also opening myself up to the possibility we could, if there were a way to clarify that as well. And I don't know for sure, but if we could say concerning limitations, if that covers everything, and I haven't tried to work it through the entire text, but if we could say concerning limitations, and then it's a little awkward to say concerning limitations on charges imposed on property. It works very well if we say concerning limitations on property taxes.
Which line are you looking at?
I'm just still on the first line.
Okay.
I'm dealing with this with a single subject. So I'm just trying to figure out if there's a better expression of the single subject.
Well, the suggestion I had that would avoid the tax versus fee issue, but move in that direction a little bit, would be concerning, to change it to concerning government charges on property. You could get rid of the word imposed, and government charges is I think a synonym for taxes and fees, which is what we're trying
more
to
inclusive.
Capture something slightly broader than just taxes, which is the problem we discussed, but it gets the idea that it's the government charging you for owning property, essentially, or using property. That was the best I could come up with.
Mr. Eubanks.
I have the same recollection in terms of why we set forth the single subject as charges imposed on property. It was primarily because of the mandatory fee provision, in the sense that a fee is something different than a tax. I mean, that's why it's set out separate from the tax language in that particular provision of the initiative. I think I'm fine with Mr. Domenico's suggestion about government charges. I don't know that I'm comfortable putting it to property taxes, because I don't think that then the statement of the single subject is accurate. I mean, that it doesn't include everything. And I think a prohibition against certain governmental entities being able to impose mandatory fees on property is a major feature. That's a major change from current law. And so I'm not inclined to change the statement of single subject in the sense of going to property taxes. I don't think we can even go sort of in terms of limitations, because I don't believe that some of the provisions of the initiative are actually limiting property taxes. I mean, when you're dealing with requiring enterprises and authorities to pay property taxes, or dealing with some of the property tax election requirements, I don't think that it's all limiting property tax in the sense of reducing or reductions or anything along those lines. Whether it's helpful to say governmental charges on property, I'm fine with that. But, you know, the difficulty is that when initiatives are complex, as this one is, it has a lot of different provisions in it, that it's very hard to have a very simplistic title that gives the voters adequate notice of the major features. And I do believe that the majority of the statements that we included in the ballot title that we set at the last meeting includes major features that the citizens should be aware of in understanding the measure and what they're voting on. There may be some tweaks. There may be, like, the audit provision. I think I perhaps argued that we didn't need the audit provision to begin with. So we may be able to do some small changes. But in general, I think it's very important, because of the complexity of the measure, that the title inform the voters of what the measure does. And I just don't agree with Mr. Schroeder in terms of his suggested language. I believe that's too simplistic, that it doesn't give enough information.
Well, I'm never quite sure if in doing this we're supposed to be writing something that we think people could read and vote on just the title without going and reading the actual measure itself and understand the major features, or if we're just supposed to be giving them some idea of what's going on so that when they're in the voting booth, they can either look it up or think back and say, oh, yeah, I remember that measure from when I read it before. And I think we're kind of in between, and I'm just not – I don't know that it's entirely clear from the law what we're supposed to be doing, but I think I tend to agree more with Ms. Eubanks that the title has to at least give an idea of all the major features, and I think we can move somewhat in Mr. Schroeder's direction, but not entirely.
Mr. Schroeder.
Yes. Addressing the points that you two just made, my perspective, which is different, is that the title is not what the person is going to vote on. That's why we get a blue book, and that's why it is available in the voting booth or at your kitchen table when you vote by mail. The title, to me, simply tells what it is about. I had a nightmare the other night. I dreamt that the title board was doing a rehearing on the title of the biggest best-selling book of all time, which has only a two-word title.
Ms. Eubanks?
And if I could just respond, I agree. It's tough to know whether they're just supposed to, from the title, recognize, oh, this is what I read about in the blue book, or this is what I read about in the newspaper, or that's what I read about in terms of the text of the measure itself. But, you know, some of the case law, when it talks about the purpose of the title, it talks about that it is to fairly and succinctly advise the voters of what is being submitted so that in the haste of an election, the voter will not be misled into voting for or against a proposition by reason of the words employed. In addition, language should enable the electorate, whether familiar or unfamiliar with the subject matter, to determine intelligently whether to support or oppose the proposal. So I think it's more than just a recognition that this is what the Blue Book was talking about. I think that you can't assume that all voters will read the Blue Book or read newspaper articles or read the legal notice and the text of the measure itself, and that the title serves a function other than just people recognizing, oh, this is the one about this one, and that's it. And so I think that it has to include the major features, and because this measure includes so much, you have a lot in it in the title. I don't know that there's a way around that.
Well, I think that's the case that you quoted, I think, is pretty telling. I mean, I think it is. I mean, we know that we need to describe the central features, even if it would be nice if we could use a few words and remind people of what the measure's about. But this is even for people who are unfamiliar with the proposal, unfortunately. And this is a complex proposal. Mr. Schroeder?
Yes, I agree. And going from Ms. Eubank's statement, the complaint that you're hearing from me is about, what was it, 197 words on a 320 or 340 word issue. It goes one way, but from the other way, I would expect a compliment from you for explaining that title in so few more words.
You know, and one difficulty I have with comparing words, I may have more or less said this last time, is that I think it's a little bit of an unfair comparison sometimes, because the drafting style of the measure is very dense. I would have fewer questions about the text of this measure if it used a lot more words to more clearly explain what it's trying to do. It's very packed, and so I think it's a little bit misleading to simply compare the number of words of the measure, which are just very dense, with the number of words of the title. You know, as I mentioned last time, I mean, I think there's, what is it, I think I was complaining about the property tax issue shall have November election notices and be separate from debt issues. I think that could be a lot clearer the intention is to allow property tax issues to be decided only in November elections, but it's, you know, there could be some more words employed there to make that clearer. And you know, I just think that the words, the brevity of the measure itself creates unnecessary uncertainty, and we end up kind of repeating the words, because it's hard to summarize what's already about as dense as it could possibly be, I think. I mean, going back to the single subject, I mean, I'm not too happy with, well, charges imposed on property, which I don't think tells the voter very much. I think it's almost misleading. And I like where Mr. Domenico is going with at least trying to bring it back to government charges. I really would like to say property taxes. I think that's the meat of this. Given that we do spell out the provision on fees, I think that gets me closer to being able to live with just saying property taxes. But on the other hand, I mean, here's the struggle for me. It's essentially about property taxes, and I'd love to be able to say that in a single subject. But I'm just not quite there, given, as Ms. Eubank said, is, you know, it really does go beyond what a property taxes. And if the measure didn't do that, then I think we wouldn't have this struggle with how do we have an expression of the single subject that does embrace everything in the measure. And I don't want to, I mean, it's a choice between misleading people because we don't capture the essence that it's property taxes versus misleading people that we say property taxes and then they're not aware that it's more than property taxes. I don't know. Like I say, I'd probably support Mr. Domenico's suggestion about government or governmental charges.
The only other way to do it is to say concerning property taxes and fees or something like that. And we've tended to shy away from using "and" in the statement of the single subject on account of it suggests that there's really more than one subject, I guess.
I'm not sure that applies here, but that's the only other way I can think of to resolve that. I think government charges on property gets us, does a good job of stating the subject, and it is a little bit clearer, I think, than the current language, which I agree is a little, it's not very helpful.
Is it all real property, or is there, remind me, is there personal property taxes in here as well?
No.
No, I mean, could government charges on real property, does that help? I mean, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I'm just trying to explore different options.
It may help, but we just added one word, and now we're talking to another.
I think it only mentions real property in one sentence, I think. I looked at that at one point, the beginning of paragraph B, the first sentence of paragraph B, I think, is the only place where it specifies real property. And I'm tempted, A, to avoid making it longer, and B, to avoid us reading our interpretation into it, to just leave it.
So, Mr. Domenico, then your suggestion is concerning government charges on property?
I think that would be my suggestion, yes.
And I'll go ahead and make that motion then.
I'll second it.
Discussion on that change to the title? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Other changes? Mr. Eubanks.
Looking on the screen so I can give you a line number. On line 3, the phrase specifying requirements for certain property tax elections, I don't see any distinction in terms of the types of property tax elections that the requirements are imposed, and I think I'm looking at the requirements being that electors can vote on property taxes in all districts where they own taxable real property, and the fact that property tax issues shall have November election notices and be separate from debt issues. And for that reason, I think we could probably remove the reference to certain so that it's just specifying requirements for property tax elections, applicable to all property tax elections.
Mr. Schroeder's nodding his head.
Yes.
Yes.
So I would make that motion.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Ms. Eubanks.
I'd be in favor of removing the reference to the audits that begins, it's the very last phrase of the title, begins on line 12. Striking that language, and I think because we'd be striking that last phrase up on line 8, we'd have to add an and before requiring.
I kind of like it, but let's talk about that. I mean, I don't feel strongly about it. I think this is a close call, and I wouldn't be upset if I'm outvoted on this one, but I recognize, I agree with Mr. Schroeder. I think normally you expect enforcement of a measure. Audits are a little different, and this is not just auditing this, the new language, it's auditing the property tax provisions of Tabor. So it struck me as being a little more than simply saying some measures say the General Assembly shall pass laws for the enforcement of this measure or something. I mean, something that's a little more amorphous. But again, I don't feel strongly about it. Mr. Domenico.
Yeah, I think I've come to agree with Ms. Eubanks on that. I originally thought we should include it because, as you said, it is perhaps sort of surprising that you're adding this new audit requirement. But I don't think it's material. It may surprise someone to find that out, and it may be important to a handful of us in state government and local government. But I can't picture more than a handful of voters who would consider that to be the type of thing that, knowing it or not knowing it, or it being in the measure or not being in the measure, would change how they would vote on this. And if I can't imagine that, that's sort of how I've tried to define a material part of the measure. And so I don't think it's material. I don't see it as material. So I would get rid of it.
Okay, it sounds like there's support for that. So as Ms. Eubanks was saying, I think a period and striking that last clause and putting an and on what line, Ms. Eubanks?
I believe it's line 8 before requiring. Insert an and.
And that's your motion?
That is my motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. No. That motion carries 2-1. Other changes?
I'm not sure we can, but both the detail in the discussion of the school reduction and replacement, and then the sort of list that starts on line 8 and goes to the end, I think it's at least worth considering whether, I guess so those are the last two clauses, whether those can be shortened. Mr. Schroeder's suggestion is replaces school tax reductions with state aid for the second to last clause. Which isn't bad. And then for the list, I think is and reduces taxes exceeding voter listed approval rules. I'm not sure about that, but the one on school reductions. Ours is not too much longer than that, but requiring could be simplified, I guess, and just to say requiring school tax reductions, requiring school district tax reductions, I think it should say. And I think you have to, requiring that school districts reduce their tax, property tax rates. The only thing you really end up getting rid of is the 10 years, the direction I'm heading. Because I do think it's important what the proposal doesn't capture that the current draft does, is that the measure requires school tax reductions. And I don't think that's obvious from the proposed language, and that is a material component of the measure. So I don't know, maybe getting rid of the over 10 years isn't worth the trouble. But I wouldn't mind it.
Ms. Eubanks?
I agree with Mr. Domenico. I don't believe that this suggested language about replaces school tax reductions with state aid can adequately conveys the idea that the district property tax revenues are being required to be reduced. I mean, it only seems to describe a portion of a major change, a major feature of the measure. And I agree, you could take out the 10 years. I don't think that that adds very much. I think we were just trying to capture sort of the phase out of the reduction over a time period. Whether it could be consolidated a little bit in terms of using the existing language, something along the lines of perhaps requiring each school district to reduce its property tax rate and replacing reduced revenues with state aid, something like that to try to make the phrase a little shorter. But I think you have to have the reduction as well as the replacement concept. But it might be possible to make it shorter and perhaps not as explicit as the language currently reads in the title.
I just, I don't know if this would make a difference here, but I have been meaning to say that I, as I've said before in different hearings, I agree with the suggestion that we get rid of the in connection therewith language. And if you did that, you could end up using a different verb form than the participle, the present participle, I think that is, the ing version of all the verbs. And I don't know if that would help make it a little bit easier to write some of these clauses if instead of saying requiring, it said required and or something like that. I don't think it would in this case, but it might in some cases.
Someday I might part with the in connection there.
We've done it once or twice. I know we have.
For very short, kind of one feature measures.
Yes, it's yes.
And I can be outvoted on that too. So,
well, I mean, it doesn't do a lot of good other than getting. The only real change I think it would be is you could change the verb form so it would say concerning government charges on property and an amendment to the Constitution. Concerning charges on property, which would allow petitions, et cetera, and or something like that, and then you might in this section be able to say and would require school districts to reduce its property rate over 10 with the revenue to be replaced by state aid. I don't know, something like that. But I think you could do all the same stuff. You'd end up with, I don't think it would solve our problem here. So I'm willing to get rid of the over 10 years at least. I don't think any of us have come up with a better solution than what we have, because I agree that the reduction and the replacement are two separate concepts that need to be in there. And I can't come up with a better way to do it than what we already had.
Okay, give some suggested language and just see what you think. So, let's see. I think we're going to get rid of, starting on line 6, after requiring, strike each. We're going to make school district plural, so it's school districts. and then strike it. Strike tax rate over 10 years. And replace it with taxes, plural. Then strike requiring that. Insert replacing. And striking be replaced by.
Sorry.
That's okay. And inserting with. Suggestion that shorten it. I think it still includes the two concepts of reduction as well as replacement. But I'm fine if you'd rather leave the language as is.
I like it. One question I have is the description of reducing property taxes versus reducing property tax rates.
And it's true. I mean, perhaps you can have a rate reduction in the total amount of property tax revenue generated, or even the amount of property taxes paid on an individual property might not go down. So whether it's more accurate to say to reduce property tax rates,
and I think that would be, and I hate to add a word back in, but I think that's more accurate.
I think we had that discussion about the significance of, and the difference. I forget, but yes.
The taxes could go up, but the rates have to come down.
Right. The amount of taxes paid could increase.
Right.
Rates reduced. And I think it should be rate, well. I think to have rates plural, because you're talking about school districts plural.
I think that's right. But I think that helps a little bit, that approach. I haven't counted words, but I think it's a little shorter. Mr. Schroeder, any comment?
No, I agree with what you said, Bill. Yes. I think it's a word. It's a word count improvement, and I think there's no change in meaning. I think it's very, very direct and clear.
I'd move that language.
I'll second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any other changes to the titles as set by the board?
I don't know. We discussed a little bit the need to actually list 1, 2, and 3 down there on lines 8, 9, and 10, and 11. You know, the proposal on rehearing is that instead of saying all that, essentially replacing one, two, and three with the idea of listed voter approved rules. I do find that portion of the draft hard to follow. Of course, I find that portion of the measure hard to follow. On the other hand, the proposal, I think, is accurate. I don't know, it doesn't quite tell you exactly as much, obviously it doesn't give you as much detail as listing the three things, but I don't know that, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm confused by what's actually in 1, 2, and 3, which is essentially taken out of the measure, that I don't know that listing them adds much to the to voters' understanding of what's going on. But I don't know.
Ms. Eubanks.
And I guess I'm of the opposite mind. I think that these are major changes that voters need to know that if they approve this measure, this changes not only voter-approved measures that fall within some of these categories, but also other law changes, such as, you know, the mill levy freeze. I mean, we had that discussion about mill levy freeze as a statutory change. Doesn't require voter approval, but under this language, it would be undone. That's my understanding. And so I just think that all three categories are major changes that need to be spelled out to folks, that they need to know this is how this measure would affect these things.
Yeah, and I think I agree that the voter-approved language definitely doesn't work for me. And I certainly agree that they're all, that it is a major feature. They're all major features. I just am not sure whether we need to list them all in such detail or can figure out a way to summarize them. Maybe not. As I said, I can't come up with much other than if you were to say rates to be reduced to offset specified prior limit, specified prior limits or something like that. Limits or rules or something like that, and just leave it at that. I don't know if that's more or less helpful, to be honest. I just get lost in that language, frankly, that's up there.
I don't have a viable suggestion.
Well, can I at least suggest this? This is a different point, but one that's, I think, brought up in the proposal. Leaving all the list, do we need to say requiring property tax rates to be reduced to offset? Could you just say reducing property tax rates to offset? I suppose it's true, someone else, this won't just by itself reduce them, but the fact that someone's got to calculate them and say what they are, I don't know, is relevant, and it
would be easier to read, I think, that way.
And so your suggestion was, again, I'm sorry?
My suggestion would be to just change "and reducing property tax rates to offset blank."
I'd be fine with that.
I probably don't feel too good of it. I guess. I mean, just because the, and maybe I'm splitting hairs, but Mr. Domenico has already recognized, I think it's the difference between doing it in the measure versus requiring someone else to do it. Go ahead, Mr. Banks.
I'm sorry for interrupting. But the measure itself doesn't really talk about anybody doing it. It just says that certain tax increases, extensions, and abatement levies after 92 shall expire by lower rate.
But somebody will have to do it, right? I mean, the lower rates have to be calculated and imposed, right? I mean, and the measure doesn't say what those lower rates are.
Right. That's true.
But it can't, because they're kind of contingent on various things.
Right. I mean,
is that what you think is important to signal, that it doesn't, in fact, say here's how much the tax rates are now? Because to me, I don't. I don't know. I can't figure out why that's material. And it's messy to read that way.
It is. And again, I don't know that I feel strongly about it. I think the drafting principle here for titles generally, I mean, I think this might have implications about how we approach these things. I think there's a difference between what the measure does and what a measure does and what a measure requires. I mean, line 2, allowing petitions in all districts. I mean, that's a done deal. The measure does allow petitions in all districts. Doesn't require any action. And whereas saying reduces property tax rates, to me, kind of is misleading, because it doesn't really, the measure itself doesn't really accomplish that. And I'm just concerned that our approach to ballot titles might change quite a bit if we follow that pattern. And maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. Maybe it's a distinction that's without a difference.
Well, but Ms. Eubanks was right, though. What it really does is says that anything, I mean, maybe it doesn't, neither what I said nor what the current draft says actually is what the measure says is maybe the problem. I mean, nobody actually does have to do anything. They just, anything over those amounts goes away, expires. And we sort of interpreted that to mean that somebody's got to sit there and figure out, well, here's what the correct rate should be and all that. But
to me, that's a kind of a feature of the peculiarity of the drafting of the measure, that these things shall expire by lower rates, as if it actually happens. I mean, that without someone doing something. I mean,
but if the measure actually said these taxes will be reduced by, it could actually sit there and go through every one of the things in the state that it affects and say, here's the actual measure, or here's the actual new tax rate, which is the old tax rate. But it doesn't. Someone's got to figure out what that is. But to me, I think it's more accurate, really, to say that it reduces property tax rates. Now, I mean, maybe it's and lowers property tax rates instead of that whole thing, lowers property tax rates that are beyond 1, 2, and 3. But that's not quite right. The grammar doesn't. I think the offset is in there for a reason, because what? Sorry.
No, that's fine.
The best I've been able to come up with off the top of my head right here is, if you said something like lowering property tax rates or tax rates to 1, the level implemented under state laws, policies, or limits in 1992, existing in 1992, included in an original listed on the amount listed in the first ballot, in the ballot, in an approved ballot question, and 3, somehow coming up with a way to say, instead of saying what's over, go back to a little closer to what you're doing, which is saying here's the level, which is what was existing in 1992, or what was listed on an approved ballot question, or was how I'm not quite sure how you would say number 3 that way.
Ms. Eubanks?
And I guess I was taking a little bit different approach because of sort of in recognition of the fact that perhaps how we currently begin that phrase on line 8 maybe doesn't reflect what the measure, how it's set up, and what it's requiring through its language. And so I was trying to play around with it. I don't know if it makes it any shorter or easier to read, but it may be more accurate whether we start the phrase so it would read something along the lines of, you have the and, because it's the last phrase in the series, and, comma, through lower tax rates, comma, requiring the expiration of, and then you have your 1, 2, and 3, because it is the expiration of the property taxes implemented in violation of state laws, policies, or limits, the expiration of property taxes exceeding the dollar amount, and the expiration of property tax rate increases or without certain ballot language. So I was sort of focusing up front whether or not we still may be able to somehow shorten or consolidate the 1, 2, and 3 phrases. But I've become somewhat concerned that perhaps the way we've worded it to begin with in terms of the title that we adopted, perhaps it might be better to phrase it more along the lines of the measure itself. And at least that way you'd get rid of one reference to property tax. In that introductory portion of the phrase.
Well, that's just a suggestion.
Yeah.
And you may be right. I may be hung up here, and you guys will lead me out of the wilderness here shortly. But I think I am starting to realize that part of my trouble with this is the way it's drafted. Tax increases, extensions, and abatements shall expire. That all makes sense, that certain acts expire. But then it goes on to say expire by lower rates. They don't expire at all, necessarily. Rather, the rates are lowered, if I'm understanding this correctly. And that's part of my difficulty with any language, is we're dealing with the measures. It says things expire, but I don't think they do. I think the measure is trying to say that rates will be lowered.
And I think Mr. Scherr could clarify, but I would read expiration as the fact that if those property tax increases, extensions, and abatement levies no longer exist, rates mm-hmm. drop. And so the use of the word expire means sort of, I mean, they're repealed.
You're saying they do expire, but the way that is accomplished is by lowering, they're part of taxes, and so you lower the rates to achieve the expiration of those things.
As if they don't exist anymore. But that's just my reading of the language and my picture of it. And
that's fair.
I may be totally off base.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense how it works. I do think there's a grammatical problem. The expiration language makes perfect sense applied to the C3. It doesn't make as natural a grammatical sense applied to 1 and 2, I think, is the problem. But I do think that how it would work, Ms. Eubanks described accurately. It's just a little hard to capture that, I think.
What if you, instead of the concept of expiration?
Say that again.
Rather than use the concept of expiration, which is based on the text of the language, I think it may be a fair way of describing the measure to say through lower tax rates eliminates. And then you have your 1, 2, and 3, because that's through the expiration. That would be at least mm-hmm. my understanding, that you're eliminating the property taxes that were implemented in violation, property taxes exceeding the dollar amount, and property tax rate increases or extensions approved without certain ballot language. You're eliminating those because they no longer exist, because they've expired. But mm-hmm. their elimination might help.
I kind of like where you're going with that.
And even you could maybe change from what I had suggested before, and so you have the phrase, that introductory portion of that phrase, read something along the lines, and eliminating through lower tax rates 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I don't. My only question is if you even need the that clause through lower tax rates. I don't know that there's another way to do it.
You could just say eliminating. Because, I mean, basically that's what you're doing. You're eliminating these particular taxes or tax rate increases.
That makes sense.
I mean, I think that's the logical progression, that if you eliminate this tax, the tax rate, overall tax rate of a governmental entity is going to go down.
Mr. Schroeder.
That is my intent.
So, and eliminating 1, 2, 3, period. We're done.
Whether that helps?
I like it.
I just noticed that we've got an extra clause on there. There's a clause that starts at the beginning of line 12 that either we need to move the "and" or get rid of that restoring language.
You're right. My other motion was incorrect. Sorry.
Good catch.
I don't know how I missed it.
So before the "and" before eliminating, let's move that "and" down to the beginning of line 12.
Before restoring. Sorry, I was just reading it all. It all sort of runs together.
Ms. Eubanks' motion is, as it appears on the board, eliminating 1, 2, 3, and restoring state tax laws, et cetera. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's my motion.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any more changes? If not, is there a motion to grant the motion for rehearing to the extent that the board has revised the titles and deny in all other respects?
So moved.
Second. The understanding is those changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That concludes action on the rehearing for number 7. I think we can move right on to number 11.
Yes.
Oh, well, the time is 3:26 p.m. And I think we might be able, I'm guessing we can use the same title, even though Mr. Schroeder may not like some things about it. But we might end up starting when we get to that, start with the title that we set for number 7. But Mr. Schroeder.
Your statement was correct. However, in the interest of the KISS principle, on this, the only difference is one word in the proposed amendment. So logic tells me that, yes, you know, that I have no other suggestions.
So measure number 11, is the text is exactly the same as number 7, except for the word "in" being changed to "within"?
That is correct.
Ms. Eubanks?
And I think we've done this on other measures where we've had sort of different variations of the same measure. If we're going to end up with a title for number 11 that's pretty much, I guess, identical to number 7, that at least we know from the proponent that he's planning, because we're not supposed to set identical titles because they could confuse the voters. And so just that there's an assurance that the proponents intend only to circulate one of these similar measures.
And that is my intent.
Okay, so Mr. Schroeder is stating his intent on the record that he will circulate only one, not both number 7 and number 11. Thank you, Ms. Eubanks. In the interest of time, then, given that the only change between number 7 and number 11 is that one word, guess I'd propose that we go ahead and find that the measure is a single subject. I'll go ahead and make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
I'm sorry. I went too fast.
Just for the same reasons, I believe on number 7 that was my position, that I didn't believe because of the fee provision. And so I'm just trying to be consistent in my actions.
Thank you. And I'd forgotten that. Thank you, Ms. Eubanks. Then if we turn to the titles, my suggestion was that we start with the title that we set for number 7. And Mr. Schroeder, there wouldn't be any change to the title other than the things that you still don't like about the title for number 7. Is that a fair statement?
That is correct.
And I don't want to cut you off if you want to highlight some of those things that you're still not satisfied with.
The main comment I would make was length, and I would like I don't have the time, and I would like to talk to my co-proponent and some other people about it further. To say that it is better is probably not correct, with all due respect, because better is a comparative form of good. However, to say that it is less onerous to me would be correct, and I appreciate your work and patience.
Okay. Thank you. Then what Ms. Gomez has displayed, I think, on the screen in the room is the title that we set for number 7.
Title on the screen.
I'll second the motion that we adopt that title for number 11. Discussion by the board? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. And then that completes action on number 11. The time is 3:31 p.m. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the hearing, our third agenda item is withdrawn because measure number 8 was withdrawn. So I think we are adjourned at 3:31 p.m.